Let's continue our discussion about automobiles. Of course, they were quite strange to all of us in that section of the country. We had not seen them and had to get used to them. I remember some years later, my father bought a Ford car down in Port Gibson and came out with it, and it was a touring car. Now, by that, I mean it was a four-seat car and had a top over it. And to protect you in the rain, you had to get out and put curtains up. That's the way you kept the, and some of the curtains had isinglass in the curtains where you could see out. But it took quite a job, and if the cloud came up, you'd better get started to putting up the curtains, because you could be wringing wet before you got the curtains up. So the minute it started clouding up, or a little thunder, we stopped right quick and put up the curtains, and a lot of times we'd sit in there driving, burning up. It was so hot, thinking it was going to rain, and it didn't rain. Then we'd stop and take them down. You had to fold them and not crease that isinglass, because it would break. Put them under the back seat to have them. A little later, you could get them out again. So back in those days, these cars had no electric lights. See, they didn't have lights on the cars in that daytime. Now, all they had was carbide lamp. And the carbide tank sat on the running board. They don't have running boards. Now, you stepped up on that and stepped up into the car. They were much higher than they are now. Well, I remember one night, my brother Alton and I were going down with our father to see a sick patient of his. My father complained about how poor the lights were. He couldn't understand what was happening. Well, the big problem was that moisture would get in the line between the carbide tank and the lights, and the light wouldn't burn well because the moisture in that was keeping the gas from coming through. What was burning was the actual gas from that carbide, and the carbide has threw off those burning qualities of gas. So while he was in the house seeing Mr. Herlong, I decided to turn a little bit more water in on the carbide. I didn't think Dad had enough. The water dripping in out of a water tank sat up on top of the carbide and dripped in one drop at a time. And that's the way it generated the gas. So I opened it up, and the lights got better. Because it was producing more gas, see? And we got about 2 miles from old man Herlong's house, and you never heard such an explosion in your life.
Well, did your dad light the lights before that?
Oh, yes. He said, man, the whole country was lighted up when he came back out to the car. And of course, I didn't say anything. I just kept my mouth shut. Well, we got about 2 miles away, as I said, and the tank exploded. And what it did, it just blew those little buckles on the side of that gas, that water compartment off of that carbide compartment and blew it out in the field. Of course, we didn't know where it went because we just sitting there in pitch dark. Papa stopped the car and shut the engine off. He walked about 2 miles down the road, I reckon, to a black man's house and borrowed a lantern. And we hung that kerosene lantern on the front of the car, on the radiator, and he mows home about 2 miles an hour till we got home. Well, of course, I wasn't about to tell him what had happened. He'd have beat the wax out of me, brother. I was grown before I ever told him what happened. But the next morning, we got up and got in the old Ford and went back down there and about to where the explosion happened. And out in the field, there was the top of that carbide tank. So we fixed the buckle on the sides and put it back on, and it worked from then on. Of course, you always kept a slick dime in your pocket. That's the only way you could regulate the spark plugs in that day and time. That's the way we spaced them. We had a slick dime, and if the slick dime would slide between the point and that little curved place on the spark plug, we knew it had the proper space. I think we've told enough about the automobiles. We had a lot of fun. When you were making 20 miles an hour in that day and time, it reminded me of what had happened to us when Granddaddy Allday was telling about his experience of running the car and getting arrested for speeding when he was doing about 25 or 30 miles an hour. Well, if we were doing 30 miles an hour when we first got ours, brother, we were doing something. So I think we'll leave the cars now, but I wanted all of you to know that I grew up with the automobile in Jefferson County. That is down in South Mississippi.